This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Tristan, if you're watching this, I want to invite you.
But you know, right now, he's in jail.
That's Tristan as well?
Yeah, both of them are in jail.
Stay strong, strong, Jesus. Power, unfazed.
We hope that Allah frees our brother Andrew Tate, and we hope that Tristan takes this time in jail to contemplate upon Islam and upon the purpose of life, and we invite you to Islam and Sneeko.
So I want to start off with this statement he said is very interesting.
Which is a point that I think I'm going to raise right here, is there are people in the world who will punch you in the face if you insult Jesus Christ, and if you insult Jesus Christ or the Virgin Mary or anything. And those people are the Muslims. Now, if you don't know religion and you don't know religious history very well, then I guess you don't know that one of the most important prophets in Islam is Jesus, son of Mary, as they refer to him, or Jesus Christ, as us Christians call him. So this Dubai, the Middle East, the United Arab Emirates, the Muslim world is a part of the world where you cannot walk around and freely insult Jesus. So I feel perfectly at home in the Middle East, and I feel perfectly at home living with my brother, who is now a Muslim. He's going to put a Quran up above his title belts in the house. I have no problem with that book being in my house. I am very happy for my brother and the decision he made. I think that it's going to benefit him in the long run. I think that he's a lot happier than I've seen him in a very long time, and good for him. Now, I was asked about my own conversion or potential conversion, and here was my answer. My answer was very simple. Somebody, some idiot, actually, here in the Middle East, some British guy, said to me, oh yeah, if you convert to Islam, that'd be really beneficial to you and it would help you out in lots of ways. And I explained to him, I said, that's not how conversion works, my friend. And if I were to live in the Middle East, you know, although living as a Christian, even if it was more difficult, which it's not because it's a very free, open country with freedom of religion, I would not convert for the reason of getting any kind of material or social benefit. I don't think that's how conversion works. I don't even think you choose to convert no more than you choose to believe that the sky is blue or that the ocean's filled with water. I believe that conversion is something that happens to you. Now, I've been doing a lot of reading. A lot of people in Dubai have gifted me some wonderful books, The Miracles of the Prophet Muhammad and so on. And I enjoy reading this material. Conversion isn't something that I plan to do because I don't believe it's something people plan to do. I believe it's something that naturally happens to people and something that, you know, you don't choose, because you don't choose to change your mind. You don't choose to change your mind. Your mind just naturally changes as you're persuaded. So as for a personal conversion, I will say no, that's probably not coming. It's certainly not coming yet. If it does happen, it will be an organic process. But nevertheless, I believe that Christians and Muslims are now finally united. So over the history of Christianity and Islam, there's been lots of fights, and there's been lots of arguments, and there's been lots of wars, and the Crusades, when the Christians went in and tried to take Muslim land from them, and the Ottoman Empire, too, invaded Europe through Romania and got even to the gates of Vienna. There was lots of beef between Christians and Muslims, but that was obviously due to religious differences, because people were very, let's call them zealots back then, but also it was about political power. It was about who controls the land, who controls the laws, who controls the countries. I believe that Christianity and Islam are now closer linked than ever before. I believe they're closer linked now than they even were in the day of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who by the way, encouraged religious freedom and lived completely peacefully with Christians. I believe today we are united by a common enemy. I think that the evil actions of what's happening in the world, the degeneracy, the perversions, the horrible things that we see every single day on our TV screens, the atrocities committed in the name of all sorts of nonsense, even, you know, reproductive freedom, the millions and millions of babies being aborted every single day. It's tragic. And I believe that Christianity and Islam now stand hand in hand as brothers against the moral degeneracy of the world. So I don't see a time in the future where there's going to be any kind of beef between Muslims and Christians. And if you think there's going to be any beef in my house between me and my brother, you are wrong. Let me into the future, my faith.
We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon Him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you doing, my brother?
Good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Alhamdulillah.
So you're hearing, this is Tristan Tate, brother of Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
So we don't hear much about him, but people are talking about Andrew Tate. So we thought we'd go ahead and give Tristan Tate an invitation to Islam, as we did for Andrew Tate at one time. And he accepted Islam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So I want to start off with this statement he said. It's very interesting. There are people who will punch you in the face for insulting, and you think this is everyone other than Muslims, but he said it's the Muslims.
No doubt, yeah. There have been movies made mocking Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, Isa ibn Maryam, and the only protests that really came out in the streets were from Muslims. It's very interesting. If you see a lot of the people that insult the Prophet Jesus, peace and blessings, in the West, atheists, some people of different backgrounds, usually you don't see a response from Christians. You see a response from many Muslim countries and heads of states and stuff that say, you know, we don't allow any prophet to be insulted. We as Muslims love Moses, peace and blessings be upon him. We love David, peace and blessings be upon him. We love Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. We love Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And we believe in all of the prophets equally, meaning we can't pick and choose. You know, when you see a common message that was brought by Moses and before him, Abraham, and then Jesus and Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon them, Islam is the only religion that gives an explanation why. For example, many Jews, even though they find that Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, brought a very similar message to Moses and Abraham, they deny him completely. I was in Jerusalem, or Quds, and I met many people who were rabbis and Jews, and I spoke to them, and they used very foul language about Jesus. When I asked them, what do you think about Jesus? They used a word that starts with a B, and it is referring to an illegitimate child. One of them even mocked. He said Mary had a lover and she was hiding it. I mean, this is a rabbi in Israel.
We take that as an insult.
We defend the honor of Mary, peace and blessings be upon her. We believe she was a virgin. We believe it was a miraculous birth. We believe Jesus was a prophet sent by Allah to guide the people of Israel to back towards the monotheistic message from when they had deviated into many what we would consider today as bid'ah, innovation, the charging people, trying to make money off the temple and so on and so on. When we speak to Christians, they may believe in Abraham and Moses and David and Jesus, peace and blessings upon them, but they obviously worship prophets like Jesus instead of following his true message. But they will deny the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. But we as Muslims can show why all of them have the same message and why they brought a similar theme to all their nations, because we believe in the Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet Jesus, the Prophet Moses, peace and blessings be upon all of them.
I want to go through these quickly, some of the points that he made up, and they kind of, he's already like giving dawah. He's not even Muslim, but he's clearing up many misconceptions just by him speaking.
Yeah.
One of them, he feels at home. Like, people often will have this misconception in this land. You go there, they'll chop your head off, you know, all this stuff. He's like, I feel comfortable here.
You know, the propaganda that we see from the media is very negative.
Our brother in Islam, Eddie from The Deen Show, is creating the Deen Center, which is a masjid and a dawah center, which is going to help non-Muslims learn about Islam, inshallah. And the most beautiful thing about this is that we can all be a part of this. We can all take part in earning rewards from this simply by donating whatever we can to make this a reality, which is beautiful. Let's do that. All right, let's click this link. Let's donate what we can and let's make this a reality, inshallah.
And one of the things, I was recently in Qatar during the FIFA, the World Cup, And I think that was an excellent, Allah reward the government and people of Qatar. Mm-hmm. It was an excellent example of clearing up many of those misconceptions, because sitting in the West, we hear this. So this narrative tells you that as if the Middle East is just some kind of war zone, and you go there and some guy with like a sword is going to jump out with a camel. That's, you know, ridiculous Hollywood stuff. But this is what people think. But in Qatar, they got to see that, no, Muslims are first world people. Muslims have a very welcoming attitude. People from every different country in the world that you can think of were there, and they were welcomed by the people. They were welcomed into the mosques. Many people, regular citizens, nothing to do with any da'wah organization or any. They just came out to the streets and brought their gahwa, their coffee, and were passing it out to the people and sweets, just to have that building of bridges, that friendly conversation, and it was beautiful. So I appreciate Tristan Tate, kind of clearing up these misconceptions and letting people know that him living in a majority Muslim country, he feels very comfortable, even though he's a Christian.
He talked about conversion or coming to Islam. This is not, he doesn't believe this is a choice.
I thought that was profound. That was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And many people don't realize what does it mean to revert or to go back to the natural state of belief that children are born on, which we consider somebody becoming Muslim as reverting back to their state. But he said something very interesting, that it's not a choice. It's the same thing as if you see that the oceans are wet with water or the sky is blue. Meaning, when you realize that there is a creator and that creator sent this message, this truth with his prophet, then it's not about converting to something. It's about accepting reality. And that's a very profound point. I mean, you know, some people, they want to live out their desires. And hopefully those that are watching can kind of check themselves, you know, kind of think about their own life and their choices. And what they want to do, they just want to live out their desires. So what do? They deny the creator. Or they may believe in a creator, but they don't want to follow the rules, right? So then they're like, well, I believe in God, but I'm not a Muslim. Or, you know, because I want to drink. And there was a somebody had done a reaction to one of my videos, and there was somebody in that who had made that comment, that I don't call myself a Muslim because the lifestyle that I'm living. Well, so that's an interesting point, that because they want to go party or drink or fornicate or whatever, they want to then deny the message. And this is not something you can do, because when you know there is a creator, and you know that that creator created, you didn't come from nowhere, you were designed and fashioned and evolved by the will of the creator, you have to accept that. It's a truth. It's like saying the sun is hot. I mean, it's not a matter of opinion. Once you realize the sun is hot, it's hot. I mean, this is where heat comes from. It's a fact. That there is a creator is a fact. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to deny it or not, you can close your eyes to it, but it's a fact. And many people that want to deny it, it's only because they don't want to accept the rules and regulations the creator has set. But it's not a choice. Once you know that there's a creator, you know that creator knows better than you, wants the best for you, knows what's best for you. So to accept that and then do your best to follow the rules and regulations as best you can. But you can't deny there's a creator just because you don't want to accept the rules and regulations to live by.
He talks about being given a book, Miracles of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What kind of miracles do you think he's going to see in his book? I mean, that's a whole topic in and of itself, but are they enough to convince any sincere person that indeed Islam is from the creator? This is indeed a messenger from the creator of the heavens and the earth, without a shadow of a doubt?
You know, I taught a series on the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, we call the Seerah. And as I was researching, there are books like Dalal al-Nabuwa of al-Bayhaqi and others that we went over to try to find narrations about the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And I found around 3,000 ahadith about the different miracles of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Wow. 3,000 narrations. Now, some of those are about the same miracle, but 3,000. And going through the historic documentation, first-hand eyewitness accounts, if we just look at the miracle of the splitting of the moon, and this is something I think me and you have spoken about in the past, and we have a video about that particularly talks about the eyewitness account, scientific evidence, historic evidence, non-Muslim sources, and all of that. If we just look at that by itself, it would be enough to believe in him as a prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And if you believe in his prophethood, that is Islam. Believing in the Quran that was revealed and what he has told us, that the message from the Creator. Other than that, there are many, many incidents through wars, through times when water came out of his hands, where people were healed, like Ali radiyallahu anhu, who had an ailment in his eye that was healed at his hand, and so many others. Now, what's unique about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is that we have first-hand eyewitness accounts that are verified with what we call the sanad, the chain of narrators. Who told who, who told who, who told who, until which books were they documented in, which you don't have for the earlier prophets. Meaning, if we talk about Moses splitting the sea, who's the eyewitness account? What was their names? How good was their memory? Who did they tell that account to until it was written down? We don't have that information. Even Jesus walking on water, peace and blessings be upon all the prophets. Who was the eyewitness? Who did that eyewitness physically tell it to? Who did they physically tell it to? We don't have that chain. So it's kind of a blind faith issue, but not with Islam. With Islam, we can tell you, for example, splitting of the moon, we have Abdullah ibn Abbas, we have Anas ibn Malik, who's in Medina, we have other Sahaba that we can name you who they are. Even the enemies of the Prophet, peace be upon him, we can name you who they were and who they told that they saw this miracle. Even the polytheists, the mushrikeen, they admitted to this miracle. That chain can be verified, each narrator on how good their memory is, how was their moral character, who else heard this. So this is a very unique way to scientifically prove these miracles.
It's truly amazing, amazing. And like I said, anybody who's sincere, Tristan Tate, he looks into this and he just puts this to the test. The Quran is the living miracle, along with all these other miracles that you're talking about. There's no room left for doubt.
No doubt that. For this. Yeah. And Tristan, if you're watching this, if the people watching can share this video with him, we want to invite you. You know, alhamdulillah, your brother is a Muslim. And
right now, he's in jail.
That's Tristan as well?
Yeah, both of them are in jail.
Inshallah, we hope that Allah frees our brother Andrew Tate. And we hope that Tristan takes this time in jail to contemplate upon Islam and upon the purpose of life. And we invite you to Islam and Sneeko, inshallah. We want to do a live stream with you as well, inshallah. I know Sneeko is close to Islam, alhamdulillah. I saw he did a reaction to one of my videos, and I've definitely wanted to reach out to him. And others that are watching, we want to invite you to the truth. And like Tristan said, in this profound way, that when you know that this is the truth, it's just accepting the facts. It's not changing. It's not something that you're choosing to convert. No, you realize Islam is the truth, then it's just accepting the truth.
What do you say to a lot of Muslims? You get some pushback because you're even bringing up their names, and you know they have a lot of things, you know, that they were indulging in. You know, especially Andrew Tate before Islam. Now he's come over to Islam, and from his good friend that I've interviewed, Tam Khan, he's talking about how he's going to be leaving a lot of these things. I know he openly came out and he left alcohol.
Alhamdulillah.
He was involved in some gambling. His friend was saying that he knows it's haram, he needs to get out of it. But now you deal with a lot of people coming into Islam. How long those transitions, and how should Muslims go ahead and, you know, to understand that this is a person who's new to Islam and how to deal with this? And because you have some people with strong condemnations, you know what I mean? And, like, this is
you know, I saw an interesting tweet. Yeah. Somebody showed me a screenshot. I don't really know who it's from. Some sister said that if the Muslim community accepts Andrew Tate as a Muslim, I'm going to leave Islam. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked by this because that's such a pathetic thing to say. If the worst criminal becomes a Muslim, we should accept them and hope good for them and hope that they will change their ways and be a support network for them to change. Islam is the solution for people to get out of that lifestyle. If Andrew Tate lived a lifestyle that was a criminal lifestyle before Islam, and he was involved in the worst of sins, well, then Islam is a solution. Mm. How can you be upset about him choosing the solution? And if some of those bad habits are not gone immediately, it doesn't mean that we reject the brother, you know. And this is something pathetic. You know, to be honest, Eddie, I don't even pay attention to the haters. You know, there's people out there that they got nothing better to do but to pick faults and make videos against you and just sit there. They sit in their mother's basement and they don't have a life, and they just sit there and watch, and they just have this hatred. Why is Andrew Tate being said? Why is, you know, Eddie doing good, why is Uthman doing good? And they just, they have this boiling hate. Let them burn in their hate. We don't care about them. We keep moving in a positive direction. We follow the Quran, we follow the Sahih Ahadith. What did the Prophet ﷺ tell us? He told us about a man that killed 99 people. Wow. Now, I don't know, to be very honest with you, I don't know Andrew Tate's past. I never heard the name Andrew Tate until his interactions with Islam, because I'm busy, I got things to do. So, to be honest, when I heard about Andrew Tate, people started telling me about him and things like this, and alhamdulillah, at that time he was already interested in Islam. I had a conversation with Sneeko, so you know, we were having these before his Islam. And alhamdulillah, when he accepted Islam, we saw a lot of brothers that were very happy, and we saw some haters kind of talking about, well, you know, he was involved in this and that. And I was shocked, because I look at the hadith of the man who killed 99 people. Now, I don't know what Andrew Tate has done in the past, but I really doubt he killed 99 people. You know, and this man killed 99 people. He asked the worshipper, is there a way for me to repent? He said, no, so he killed 100. He killed him, made it 100, right? And then he went to the person of knowledge. He said, can I repent? He said, yes, but change your environment. Leave the environment that you're in. Go to the place of the righteous. And this man, and I'm summarizing from the hadith, he died on the way. He never even made it to the place. But Allah made the land shorter, closer to the place of the pious to forgive him. So if Andrew Tate was a horrible person in the past, alhamdulillah, he's Muslim. So he can leave those ills. He can leave those evils. And as what we have seen, and Allah knows best, that he is now living in a majority Muslim country, the United Arab Emirates. Even though he travels, but I believe that's where he's based out of. And that's good. He's moving away from places of kufr. And may Allah make it that he surrounds himself with good, pious people. And he leaves that sinful lifestyle altogether. Now, to address those that say, oh, well, even now he has some shortcoming, which I don't know what he has or not. I'm not here to assume bad about our brother. So adhan is something we don't do. We don't assume bad about somebody. As a Muslim, we have husn adhan. We expect good about our brother. We make excuses for our brother. So even if he has some shortcomings still, that doesn't mean we condemn the brother. That means we support the brother. We give advice to the brother so he can leave those ills. If we look at the hadith of Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said that when the Quran was revealed, if the first thing that were revealed were all the rules and regulations, nobody would be able to do it. If the first thing that was revealed was you can't make zina and you can't drink alcohol and you have to pray and this and this and you can't gamble, people wouldn't have been able to handle it. So Allah revealed the Quran in stages. In Mecca, it was all building iman. Very few rules in Mecca. It was all about building your faith. You know, building your connection with Allah. Recognize that there is only Allah. Not worshipping anything else. Not allowing there to be any polytheism and things to build that beautiful Tawheed, that belief in the oneness of Allah, about the sifat of Allah, about the characteristics of Allah, the beautiful names of Allah, the mercy of Allah, Jannah, Jahannam. Now when the people went to Medina, they made hijrah, they moved. Now that they had that level of iman, now the rules came. Right? So now if somebody becomes Muslim, first thing we hope for them, that they will build their faith. And slowly, slowly leave everything bad. If they can leave everything bad in one night, great. But if they can't, it doesn't mean that we just condemn them and exile them and don't speak about. No, we make dua for them. We supplicate for them. We ask Allah to guide them and we support them and we help them. And even if they fall back into their sins, we know Allah is the most forgiving. And we remind them to always turn to Allah. So we don't pay attention to these haters. We hope good for our brother Andrew. We hope that his brother Tristan accepts Islam. We hope that Sneeko accepts Islam. And we hope that everybody watching, even if they're not social influencers or YouTubers or TikTokers or MMA famous stars or any of that, we hope you accept Islam. And everybody's Islam is equally important to us.
And that's pretty much believing in your heart and then expressing with your limbs and then living by the complete submission to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And that starts with that testimony of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And as we close, this is what we're inviting Andrew Tate's brother. Andrew Tate already accepted Islam. I'm sure he'd be very, very elated and happy that his brother also, now his younger brother, and usually the younger brother looks up to the older brother,
right.
We're giving him that invitation to come to the submission and surrender of the Creator of the heavens and earth. And what does that entail?
Like Tristan said, it is just coming to grips with reality. Whether you believe in the Creator or not, the Creator created us. Mm-hmm. Whether you believe in the Quran or not, it's the words of Allah. We want Tristan to take that step and accept what he knows in his heart to be true. So, as his brother has done, and as millions of people do all the time throughout the world, alhamdulillah, belief in Islam starts in the heart. It's something that begins in the heart, where nobody can see it, but you have it. And it's expressed on the tongue. When you say your testimony of faith, when you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammada abduhu wa rasuluh, this is the testimony of faith, saying it, that I bear witness there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and messenger of Allah. This is the testimony of faith. And then it is expressed on the limbs, meaning then your body submits. Those actions of your faith are in your daily prayers to the best of your ability. You're leaving the things that are forbidden, that are haram, and doing that which Allah has ordained, that which is fard, that is obligatory, and so on. And this is something that will spiritually cleanse them. It will benefit them. It will bring the peace in their heart that people are missing. It will bring that discipline in their day that people are missing. It will bring that healthy lifestyle that people are missing. It will give them that purpose that people don't realize that they have. It will give them the best of what is there in this world, and will give them everlasting paradise in the hereafter.
Beautiful. Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much.
Jazakallah khair. Pleasure again, Eddie. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You can't take it with you when you go. Or you can't take this with you when you go. And you can't take this with you when you go. Brothers and sisters, we're all going to depart from this life. And all of our material possessions to our money will stay behind. But your reoccurring investment in the Deen Center will continue to grow even when you leave this life. So go ahead and make that reoccurring investment in a masjid and mega dawah center that will benefit you in this life and in the next. Click the link below. Donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
عهدا علينا أسود العرين نمضي أماما.
Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about, and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.